Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, April 18th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command. Have you heard of TDX? Listen, Orbital Command is putting together the Terra DApp Expo on June 9th and 10th in Austin, Texas. Not Boston. I know, that's what I thought. Austin. Austin, Texas. Come get doxxed IRL and share merriments with all of your favorite fellow lunatics and lunatics. For more information, go to terradappexpo.com or hit the menu item on the site right here on terraspaces.org. And as always, be sure to check out Orbital Command online at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, a Super Terra Space, startup phases of NFT projects, from ideas to inception. Let's take a listen.
Welcome, everyone, to our latest exploration of the various opportunities that exist in the NFT space. So, first of all, Simon is, I think, very early in his day, so he's just a little bit just winding himself into it. I myself am towards the end of my day. I had a very wonderful few days of actually disconnecting myself from the space. So apologies to those of you who have been messaging me, etc. I think sometimes it's really good, and I advise everyone to do this, every so often just disconnect yourself from the space, because then you'll come back re-energized and actually have a better perspective on the social side of life and everything else. Anyway, that's just me personally. Anyway, so tonight's or today's spaces is all about, at the early stages of any NFT project, there are a lot of different thoughts, facts, scenarios that we all need to think about in terms of where we're positioning ourselves, what we're thinking about, who our audience is, what our own, if you like, modus operandi is in terms of where we're looking to aim. And actually, in some ways, project is a misleading word, because I think it's more about a longer-term plan. There are many examples of, shall we say, projects that are a quick turn and go. A very successful NFT experience is one that actually evolves over time, takes on board the characteristics, the plans, the thoughts of the community, and evolves, taking on their thoughts, their plans. And there are so many brilliant examples of those. So obviously already aware, we have a fantastic early audience here, and there are a variety of projects that we are very keen to hear from. And I guess the question is, talk us through your own thoughts as to how you actually start creating that vision, that community, that idea that ultimately will encapsulate your NFT plan. So I'm going to hand over to Simon now, who I hope is waking up, and those cogs are turning, and welcome some thoughts. As always, please do press the request button. We'd love to hear from all of you and hear your direct thoughts on those initial startup phases of NFT projects. How do you go from an idea to a community plan, to a mint, to a post-mint delivery of something that is bigger than your original idea. How does that all work?
Yeah, it's like a cold start with my brain. wake up 5 minutes before, early in the morning over here in Australia on the Gold Coast. So we're quite, you know, this is a topic that myself and Super Terror are quite new to as well, because it's something that we're actually, you know, going through ourselves and going through the process of, you know, how do you take an idea and a vision? And it's like any business, right? How do you take a vision for something and turn it into reality in this space? So, you know, this is kind of like what is so awesome about these spaces is that we have so many different minds and people that have maybe gone through this before, and we're able to kind of tap into the knowledge and the perspective and experience of so many projects coming on, and we've got a lot of, you know, great friends in the space, and so we're really looking forward to kind of digging into this topic and, you know, exploring how you take that vision and turn it into reality in the NFT space. You know, this is like anything when you're starting a protocol or a business or anything like that. It's the same kind of concept that you go through. You know, do you go through raises? Do you go through how do you find the right team? How do you find the right talent? How do you find the right community? How do you start building it? But I think it's slightly different with NFTs. So it's very exciting to hear and very interesting to hear how you can, you know, start to build that community from scratch before the project even, you know, even has been shown to the world. So love to hear your thoughts on this. And if you've got any, you know, ideas or any like experience or any like comments for this, don't hesitate at all to come up and speak and add some comments.
And I think whilst we're waiting for people to do so, what I do love is looking across this space already, a mint that really encapsulated for me the entrepreneurial spirit of the space and the opportunity to develop and learn is the Intern Capital launch into NFT. And I can see already on this space, there are quite a few individuals with those NFTs. And I think we're all ultimately capable of being very entrepreneurial from almost like, you know, parents' basement, if you like, to create that future scope idea. And I love it that the king of interns is about to speak, the man that's really started it all. Finn, absolute pleasure, my friend. The space is yours.
Well, hey, I was actually just eating and I didn't want to leave you hanging. I didn't see anyone else coming up. And we did just happen to launch something. And I'll say, at least for me, and I'm sure this is different for everybody, but I think for me, it started out with just waking up and being like, you know what? Going to work fucking sucks. I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah, I feel like maybe some other people share that. You just wake up one day and you're like, you know what? This whole factory style-esque grind that we've been doing, it's no bueno. I'm going to draw something. I'm going to draw some dicks or some monkeys or some interns. And then once you like have the initial seeds of the art does the rest of the work for you. I mean, let's be real. Like people see the art, they're like, hey, that's dope art. I'm going to check that out. And boom, you just went from one to three. And then they show their friends. They come in a space, perhaps they see the art. And now it's like three to seven. And then it goes on. And then people ask you about utility. And then you're like, fuck. Now this is a day job again. So then you have to hire a dev. And the the dev does all that work. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And then, you know, people ask for more utility and you just give them what they want. Steve Jobs said, people don't know what they want. You got to give them what they want. That's what we do at Intern Cap. We put the sir in service and we give people what they don't know that they want. And we make them better people. I have to finish eating. My food's getting cold. Thank you.
But Finn, sorry,
elevated to cult leader status.
I was going to say that is absolutely brilliant. I mean, for me, thank you, Finn. What a way to light the touch paper on a space that's all about incubation of ideas, a desire to make the world better. And you're right. And actually, I think you hit upon a really important point in the way you sum that up, because actually, you create a brilliant idea, a concept, something that's going to change the world, and then people want to put kind of straps on it, ideas, you know, restrictions on it, and then it becomes a day job. But absolutely, for me, it's not about that. And I think it's how we break those shackles entirely. So I do feel like I cut Simon off, and I didn't mean to do so. And we do have another speaker has already joined us. But thank you, Finn. Amazing. You seem to have disappeared off already. Hope you're enjoying your food. Please do feel to come back and join the floor later. But yes, I'll hand back to Simon. I think that's an amazing start to this conversation.
I was just saying, you've just become a cult leader. It's funny stuff. It's actually quite interesting because you did touch some points that you know, it's almost like the gold, when we're in the gold rush of things in the early stages of projects, and especially we're still in the early stages of NFTs where, you know, it was a lot easier, or it still is maybe a lot easier to create projects and to get out there. But that, I think, does kind of evolve over time as it matures, especially with Terra, right? You know, if you look at ETH right now, I'm sure that Randall could speak about that. I'm guessing it's a lot harder to get off the ground with projects than it is in places like Terra, and to build those communities and to get that awareness and to, you know, create something that people want. So, it's quite interesting, depending on your positioning of where you are, to how easy or hard it must be.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak on just throw some more accolades at Finn and Intern Capital, at Simon, at all of everybody. Super Terra, thank you for hosting. I'm really bullish on the community of Terra, more so than Luna or Sai or any of these assets. So what is happening in the community right now, to me, is magic. And if you weren't aware, also, I don't know if it was mentioned, I joined kind of late, but when you get one of these intern NFTs, I think you actually become an official intern. So as Finn was saying, if you're tired of like pushing a button that will never lead to a lever, press, you're just forever doing this thing that is horrible. Or maybe you're really enjoying it and you're just interested in enjoying yourself even more. You know, you can now take advantage of this community and become an intern just by getting this thing. I think it's only like, I can't remember, $60 or something for this mint. It's really, really amazing. Anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out to Finn, everybody, Archangel, everyone in that community. Thank you guys so much for what you're doing. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Sorry, Simon. All I was going to say was I minted, and I think the Inter NFT is a brilliant, brilliant concept. And if some of the other things can mint out in seconds, please, please have a look at that. Anyone listening to this now or later, this is a community-driven opportunity. If you buy this, it helps bootstrap something that's really, really so vital and important to the future of Terra. So it's a rare moment where, and this is a digression for me, because my intention was not to do this, but I love what you guys are doing at Intern Capital. So get involved. And I did mint a few, I think it was like the 426.90 or something. It was a couple of, you know, like very funny numbers, but they worked, and I forget which way around it was. Anyway, I bought a few. But I think, you know, to bring it back to point, I'll hand over to Simon in a second. I can see Randall stepped up as well. This is all about the early stages of projects. As Simon's indicated, we are very much looking in our own case at getting our own project off the ground. And we're keen to sort of hear from the community and obviously share our own experiences and help others. And I know from feedback from previous spaces, these open talking shops do help everyone create more. The idea of how do we move beyond an idea and make it into something that's a minimum viable opportunity is something that I'm really keen to explore more. So I'm going to hand over to Simon now.
I'll pass it over to Randall if you want to add in comments. You've been sitting up patiently.
Sure. Thank you for having me. Sorry I'm late. I've been like back-to-back phone calls with people I've been working with lately to help them develop their projects. So how funny it is that the topic is ideas to inception. I think my approach to it, and a bit more practical approach, is usually when you have ideas, it's a lot of jumbled words from what you like and interest and so on. And then you're almost trying to build something out of it. Sometimes it's words before the art. Sometimes you have the art, but then no words. And I usually like to use a tool, which is very underrated, I think. And I don't know, some people might hear me repeating it over and over again, but until it becomes the standard of creating your, establishing your brand or project, however you refer it to as, mind mapping. Like mind mapping is such a great tool to get ideas on paper where you can see it and really decide for yourself what works best. You can sit in, I mean, I've sat in so many meetings where everyone's throwing ideas at each other, like, yeah, we could do that, and yeah, we could do that, and someone's writing notes, but then these notes become statements that are hard to envision, like, how are we going to implement it? And I think that's the restriction, and that's the problem with writing down statements, because they eventually become decisions, but then you're like, okay, we made a decision, but now what happens next? We don't know. How do we do it? We don't know. So I like to go with a bit more simplistic approach, more practical, where you just focus on keywords. What mind mapping does essentially is takes your entire vision, or helps you build an entire vision around your project, like what you're going to represent, whether it's male, female, animals, nature, like whatever you decide to really represent through your art. Or if you have the art, then how can you instill words, verbal elements to fit with that art? And communication is such an important part here. And I think that's where we kind of get lost, that we have to realize that building community means building our communication of the brand, of the way we're going to talk, you know, the brand voice, like all these business related things. But essentially, that's what it is. It's how are you going to communicate? How flexible and creative can your communication be? So mind mapping, right? At the center of it, I always start with one word. One word meaning, let's say, now the artist I was speaking to previously is launching a collection of balloon hearts. So in the center is a word, elevate. From elevate, you can pick out so many things. When you think of the word elevate, you can go to sky, clouds. You can go to the color red because it represents a balloon, or you can go into balloon and then the color red. And then from balloon, you can go into birthdays and celebrations. And from red, you can go into love and family and people. So you can see that there's like a web, a chain that's happening of many words. Now, what you can do with those words is very interesting. You can create engagement out of it, where let's say if your project is solely based on togetherness. Okay, togetherness fits in perfect with the Netflix night. So on a weekend, you have the whole community pop up on Discord and someone streams a movie. And those who stream the movie get an opportunity to, let's say, win something or be a part of something or get promoted to a new role or, you know, give them a free NFT, whatever it may be. But these are the ways you can be creative with taking ideas and turning it into something you can implement. And really start your journey with the project. So if you're just starting out, you haven't had your community build up yet, these are great ways to get people engaged and switched on. These are great ways for you to host spaces or like go into spaces and have topics to talk about, or maybe on your own Discords, have people talking about it. I mean, yes, there are the key elements of onboarding people, but the best way to onboard them is not to talk about NFTs necessarily, but talk about the community, right? Because that's where all the value lies, essentially. That's what's going to define how long you're going to last within this space. And the great thing, the fact that Terra has such a, I mean, rightfully said, I think Simon rightfully said, where Terra, ETH is at a place where it's so hard to get off the ground because you have to come with something so impactful. And how hard is it to find something impactful in a sea of people trying to do the same thing? And I'm talking about a sea of like 100 projects happening, 200, 300 projects happening every week. Like, how do you define yourself? How do you redefine yourself to be more exciting for those projects who haven't minted out? So you're at a great start because you can take all the learnings from the most exciting projects and take them and really enhance what you're doing and make it like, make it your true value, right? Make it the value of not just your own project, but what Terra as a whole defines, like, just your entire community from that blockchain, what it defines, how do you define it, and then instill those values so that becomes the standard. And that's my take on it. I'm not sure if I went off topic. I do apologize.
No. That's absolutely fantastic. I think for me, just taking that all in, it's about having that creative vision and looking to take people with you and a community with you. And it was profound, and certainly not off topic, because as you rightly said, you know, you throw an idea out there. I am paraphrasing. See how people react, develop that further, listen to the community, absorb it, and make it a bigger thing. I think that is incredibly profound. And just taking that all in, that is absolutely fantastic. Conscious that the way that we all interpret something is different. But actually, the most important part of what you said, you maybe didn't even realize that, is see what others say back. And that, for me, is a fundamental part of ideation, because you can be sat having the greatest of ideas in your own mind. Others will reset whether those ideas absolutely resonate and float. And I think for me personally, one of the wonderful things that I found in my relatively short time in this space, I say relatively short because none have been here for that long, because the whole space has only been going for a relatively short time in terms of years, but people will interact, support, help you develop. DKG, always a wonderful contributor. I will let you jump in a moment. Absolutely. I was just going to say, Simon, if you had anything else, I think you were about to jump in before I did. So if you want to jump in first, but then DKG.
Just something to add to really just kind of go with what both of you are already saying, and something I think we're all touching on, which is maybe something that we're also neglecting to focus on, is the fact of like the Mona Lisa in the dumpster sort of metaphor, where something could be brilliantly spectacular and it takes a real vision to see it when it's amongst something else. Like for, you know, somebody, a million people could walk by Da Vinci in the dumpster, but it would take a real artist to see that and realize, oh, it's a Da Vinci, and find some worth there. So I think part of this building up the community and just providing a platform for somebody to place their art on and have it, you know, sort of give it the right pedestal to be viewed, so it can have like a fair judgment, so to speak.
I think that's very fair. I think sometimes perspective and awareness are definitely important things. Conscious, we've got several speakers have stepped up recently. I'll sort of give way to Randall, and then perhaps we can hear more from a couple of speakers who've stepped up recently. Trev, and apologies, my Arabic is quite weak, but the other person that has also stepped forward, certainly welcome your thoughts as well. So perhaps first of all, Randall, and then on to the other new speaker as well.
So DKG, your analogy of the Mona Lisa and dumpster, I think I come across a lot of one-on-one artists who tend to look at their art like, you know, there's a saying that basically is going around now where art is a utility, which is by all means great, right? Art in itself can be appreciated for what it is. But when you're looking at the concept of why we're in this space, I mean, if you appreciate art, you might as well be in Web 2, or, you know, the previous version of what we were living in, or real life, I should say, even, and just buy art. But we're coming here to build human connection, I think, of course, through ownership, through, you know, the whole idea of connecting with people, speaking to the artists, getting to know their journey. I mean, there's a sense of humanity that's come into play now. And because that's there, I think it's important to understand that these require a form of communication, that even if you are doing great art, people will buy it, but then there should be a form of communication from the artist, at least. I mean, the artist put in hard work. The person who saw that vision and picked up the Mona Lisa from the dumpster and said, this is actually beautiful. you want to establish it, I mean, what's the point then? What's the point of us really having people come up into spaces, creating Twitter accounts, tweeting, being part of community? What is all the sense of it? Where does that purpose drive us to? We might as well just go back to what we were doing versus here, where we're really trying to develop a bit more humanistic approach, I think, because now projects and artists and what their art stands for is a lot more, because it's amplified through their values, it's amplified through the movements that are happening. Look at women-led spaces, what, you know, women are doing within this space. All these different things have come into play because now it's time to really communicate, build communication. And how can we enhance that by being able to give people guidance through words? So, of course, art is one aspect of it, but guide people's minds. If they don't appreciate it, we have to teach them how to appreciate it, because education, sharing knowledge, you know, really getting people to understand what they're doing in this space or how to navigate through this space is also part of that experience.
Yeah, I agree with like 99% of like what you said about teaching people to appreciate something. Like, there's some things that you're just gonna not like. So, you know, people appreciate things that they appreciate, right? You don't have to convince them to like something. You can show or demonstrate value, right? Things that are measurable, tangible. You can try to convince somebody, but some things resonate with you and some things just, you know, don't. You know,
there's, oh, of course, of I that, agree right? with you on that. Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean force everyone to like resonate with it, but when you're communicating, you communicate mm-hmm. with purpose for 100%. Getting people. Yeah,
you're right. Intention is really important. And what's really interesting, you touched on a couple of things, and I think there's an interesting thing to look at in terms of like the art world, right? It's, I don't know if it's, we're all that different from the art world. It's just the, our ability to communicate and the speed at which we can communicate is just exponentially faster because of the internet, because of crypto, Twitter, because of Instagram and all these things. It allows us to connect. And I think what you're really saying is that we really need to take full advantage of the fact that we're so connected and to really not make the mistakes of, you know, the Web 2 world. Because realistically, though, the art and the utility, a lot of the things that we do in the Web 3 space, you could kind of replicate it in the Web 2 world. You could like have an artist put out a bunch of art and like communicate with people, but they're not disseminating the information correctly. They're not going out of their way to create the community, to marshal all these people together and to build something really cool. Because they could. You could do a lot of these things. It would be a little clunky. There wouldn't be as much automation, but you could replicate a lot of the Web 3 things in the Web 2 space. It just, they never did it. They either were lazy or they didn't see the vision, or it was just like they couldn't because of the lack of technology. So it's interesting that you brought that up. I think we could do a lot of the same things in Web 2 if we really, really wanted to. It would just be a, you know, it costs more money and a lot more
time. Oh, you cut off, I think.
Yeah, I was enjoying that mid-flow and then...
He got rugged.
Randall got rugged by the space. I'd love to hear more.
That was Trev. I'm still here.
Ah, sorry, is it Trev? Sorry, apologies.
Yeah.
Apologies. Yeah, but I'm on a small screen, so I'm not really seeing fully what's fully going on here. No, I mean, I don't know what happened with the Trev there, but we have two speakers, both with hands up. I will let you guys speak and hopefully get Trev back in a moment and work out what's gone on there.
Hey, go ahead first, bro. All you, Cora, Zon, Seven.
Okay, first of all, don't talk about how old I am. It's common in our country, Saudi Arabia. People are old, but they're like their voices are like young. So I have just a couple of.
I never said anything, man. I'm literally just repeating your...
I know.
I'm like, I don't care, man.
Sorry, bro. Sorry. Okay, I'm just here for a couple of questions. The first one, what's like the point of NFTs?
Oh, my God, dude. I think you need a YouTube videos for that first, man.
Well, I don't know. I think we can just sum it up in a couple of words, right? It's supposed to be multiple things. It's supposed to bridge the idea of art and utility together. So you get something that's beautiful, but also provides utility. So that utility, what it can do, to what limits that utility, what can it realize for us? I think that potential is yet untapped. But essentially, that's how I understand it.
Thanks. The next question is, you can trade them, but what price? What's the name of the currency you trade it with?
So it's a non-fungible token, and so the price is determined by sort of the sale history and also the sort of relevance of the artist, and the community sort of dictates, the market sort of dictates the price. There isn't really, it's a, sort of an illiquid asset or thing at the moment, if you will. I personally don't speculate on NFTs, but I am very supportive and bullish on the future of NFTs. But all the NFTs that I buy, I just buy them and hold them forever, or I give them to other people, but I'm not currently reselling them myself.
Okay, the third question. The third question is, do you know that sometimes these NFTs are gonna like be gone, or they're gonna be priceless. They're not gonna mean anything to anyone.
Yeah, it's interesting. The definition of priceless would mean of a value that you just can't put a number on. Or worthless, which is there is no value to anyone. It's like anything, though, isn't it? Art, cars, houses, land, real estate, countries. You're always going to have those moments of what is the value? It's worth what people will pay. And whether it's a free market or a command economy or anything in between the two, it's worth what people will pay for it. And in the case of NFTs, there are many examples of items where I scratch my head, and other ones where you say, absolutely, there's a fantastic amount of utility way and beyond the JPEG that is associated with the contract. And betwixt and between, it's working out ultimately where that value lies. So it's quite a profound question, and I do welcome it. But the direct answer is difficult to make, because it's only determined by the contract, the project that you're directly looking at. I'm going to give way to Trev. I think we'll have some thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think we get really stuck on the NFTs, like an NFT, a token, Bitcoin. I think we get stuck on these buzzwords. When I think about all these things in a vacuum, I don't think that there's any difference between an NFT and a token. They are tokens. By definition, they are a different kind of token with a different standard. So I think of them as businesses. You launch a protocol, it's a business. The token is worthless unless people buy it, but people buy it because of speculative value, or you know, just because they like, they're a dumb ape and they buy things, right? It's the same thing with NFTs. They just happen to be non-fungible. That's the only difference. I think NFTs need to think of themselves like as they're a project. They are kind of a company, right? They're promising this roadmap. They're going to try to deliver on it. What do protocols do? It's the same thing, right? NFTs could raise if they really wanted to. You could try. Maybe you could raise it. I don't know if you could legally, but you're effectively a company, right? You form a team. You have an idea. You put it together. You build an MVP, or you build, you know, your all of your metadata. You sell it to the community. You have an ICO, an IDO, or a mint. It's the same thing. So you either have something and it's speculative, or people are buying it because they're FOMOing in, or they just like the project, or they like the art. So I don't think there's a massive difference. One's just non-fungible and is a buzzword, and people try to think of them as different things. They're really not.
There's more layers to it, though. Like, I actually wrote a long-form post on this, and I think there's one thing to understand with NFTs that I think many people gloss over, especially when you get caught up in, you know, minting and flipping and doing all this sort of stuff. And I'm sure Randall you know, adds to this as well. And then I'll pass over to Akil as well, because we've kind of gotten a bit sidetracked. It's to do with the fact that the identity side of NFTs, right? So it's really a branding exercise. When you, like, for example, when you have a jersey hanging up on your wall of your favorite sports team or sports player, and you show off that jersey in your hallway or something in a frame, that says something about you and who you identify as a person, right? So you make that a part of your identity. You know, you're maybe a Lakers fan or something like that. With NFTs, it's similar, right? So you have, you know, there's a level of community and identity that we attribute to those NFTs. So we say, hey, this is the NFT that I want to represent. You know, this is especially true with PFPs, but this is the NFT that I see representing me and my values and who I want to represent in the community at this point in time. It may change, but you also might get values and identities, values that come from that NFT. So if you're sporting a World of Women NFT, or you're sporting an NFT that is more towards like a social cause, maybe you're sporting that and you're representing that because it's saying something about who you are and your beliefs and the values that you're looking to represent in sport. And so there is a lot of layers, and there's a lot of this this level of the value isn't always just driven from the utility. It's driven from many things. And I think at least that's the art side of things. You want to add to that, Trevor?
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% true. You identify with it. You either believe the same things that they believe, or you like the art and everybody likes the art. They like the club, whatever. But it's also the same things with tokens. Like, I have a bunch of Angel Protocol stuff, Tick stuff, like Luna stuff. Like, it's the same thing, but they're tokens. So it's just another parallel between, like, you're part of a community. You feel like you belong, or, you know, any of the other great points that you mentioned. It's really all it is, or it's a large component anyways.
Okay, I think we're gonna reset the room and pass it over to Akil, who has been very patient. We want to try get back on track with the topic. For those that are maybe just joining, the topic is around startup phases of NFT projects. So this could be from a conceptual nature, but this whole idea, the whole concept of this is really about execution. Like, how do you take an idea that is just an idea? It's an acorn. And how do you turn that into the inception? How do you go through the process of going from, hey, I've got this really cool idea, and then actually turning it into reality and minting? You know, there may be heaps of steps and finding artists and doing all this stuff in the meantime. But yeah, love to hear from people, and love, Akil, if you jump in on this.
Hey, what's going on, man? No worries. Kid has some good questions too. Especially like conceptually, like, you know, it makes you think inward probably. I think I have a bit of a perspective on this, not just from like a standpoint of like the ideation and all that, but like the actual execution. So to give you a bit of a background, right? We have a startup, so in the space, and we're looking to like build out the infrastructure. We're looking to build out an infrastructure for like storytelling, digital, like creating a digital portfolio for NFTs and adding value on top of existing NFTs, right? But there are a lot of issues that I've run into that I feel like, as a first time sort of person who's doing like entrepreneurial stuff, that other people can also like, gain value from, right? Like, definitely, like, my number one recommendation, I feel like it's super obvious, but people don't do it. I know I didn't do it, because I was just like gung-ho. I was just like, let's set up this company and let's set up this corporation in Delaware and let's go, let's do it, right? But really, it's like, yeah, like the lawyer part is like so like crucial. Like, you want to make sure everything is going through like proper channels. Initially in 2020, early 2021, you'd saw all these projects coming out where people were just had like super hot wallets on their MetaMask, and that's where like thousands of ETH were being deposited from like primary fees, secondary fees, and there was like no security, no, like, not even a fucking ledger, right? And it's like hilarious, because it's just like, I asked these people, I was like, hey, like, you know, like, I'm doing this, I want to do it right. Are you guys using multi-sig wallets? What's your setup? They're like, oh yeah, no, our contract is coded so that it just goes straight into our account and we log it in as income. I was like, that's absolutely like bonkers. Like, that's insane. I was like, I know they say don't take financial advice, but here's some financial advice. Like, literally go figure this shit out and do it with some proper channels and security. But yeah, like, laying the groundwork is super important. I would say get a lawyer. Set it up through either an LLC or a corporation. You want to make sure that like a lot of this stuff is properly channeled through, where you don't touch the money through your personal accounts. That's one from like a technical setup standpoint. Also, like, in terms of like NFTs and their utilities, right? Like, a lot of people are like, I get it, you're pushing the envelope, you're pushing the boundaries, but a lot of staking, a lot of this stuff is like skirting like unregistered securities territory, and you don't really want to be pushing up against that, especially if you don't have the resources to properly fight back or like argue your position, right? So yeah, like, definitely those things are like very key. So if you're gonna start, like, if you're gonna do an NFT collection and you're gonna start promising your community this, that utility, like, I think from setting it up, that's something that you want to spend quite a bit of time conceptualizing.
Yup.
I see Randall's yep. got his hand up, if you wanna add to that.
First of all, Akhil, pleasure sharing the space with you again. It's been a while, so hello to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Absolutely right with legalities, like, don't ever miss that out. It's such an important part, like, not just your smart contracts, but everything that associates with your brand. And I think that's something that has yet to, you know, sink in for a lot of projects that currently exist as well. But yeah, legalities, such an important part. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to be secure,
especially like an example, right, is that a lot of projects, like, on their site, they'll just put up, they're just slap on some sort of boilerplate, you know, commercial terms of use thing that basically says, oh, this is the rights, blah blah, this is what you can't do, and this is what you can't do, right? You know, and right now it's fine because nobody is really using their NFTs outside of, like, the very top tier ones, of course, right? Like, nobody's really using their NFTs to make money on the commercialization of the IP, right? But later on down the line, like, let's take like a 5-10 year like bird eye view, you're gonna start to see, like, these projects need to start having standardized, like, legal, like, terms of use and service, because they're just coming up with legalese that isn't correct. Like, I was reading through some of these like projects terms of use, and I was just like, this makes no sense, this won't hold up in court. And forget court, right? Like, there needs to be like a precedent set before even we get to that stage where, like, how can any NFT's commercial rights be legally enforced? You know, like, I could potentially take my ape or buy another ape and then sign the rights away to Pornhub, and they make ape gangbang videos, and then, like, 10 minutes later I sell the freaking NFT back to somebody else, and the poor schmuck doesn't even know that this is what's happening behind the scenes. So really, how is it really enforceable, especially with cross-border, you know, without any, like, you know, borders? And say, like, the guy who signed the contract was in, like, some country that's very difficult to, like, you know, go to court against and stuff like that. Like, so yeah, like, that's super important. I feel like the space needs to, like, at least, like, completely mature, and it's going to take another 2 years.
Well, the problem is that we have no guidance whatsoever. So we're making all of these guesses off of a 1933 Securities Act where the frickin' internet wasn't available then. So we're really just guessing. So that's all we can really do right now. Just try to not screw yourself. And so you don't have to unfuck it later, as my lawyer says. Tell me what you're going to do before you do it, so I don't have to unfuck it. Because if you have to do it, then you're kind of going to be like SOL on some of these things. So ask your lawyer before you do anything.
And also ask your accountant. Speak to your accountants. Please don't avoid them.
Yes.
Sorry, I do have to drop out for a meeting, but it's been a pleasure as always, Super Terra and Simon. Thank you for having me. Always enjoy your knowledgeable spaces and love the community that rallies up in these spaces. Akhil, pleasure again. Hope to see you in more spaces. Love what you're doing. I did follow your project, so hopefully I get to see more of that.
Yeah, appreciate
Trev,
it, man.
DKG, thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
You too, my bro.
Thanks, Randall. Awesome stuff. Do you want to add to this, yeah, Trev, as well, or Akhil?
I
think some really good points added there for sure.
I have something to add in regards to initial spin-off of projects. I advise on so many of them. I think if you're in the NFT space, Akhil, you probably have projects that come. How do I do this?
Like, yeah,
what
I
should
do.
I do? And the biggest problem that I've seen outside of, like, all the legal and all the standard shit is that these projects will often be like a creative of some kind. A dev kinda of some kind, And maybe like a marketing person of some kind ish, but they're not like professionals in the field. The one thing that they're missing, I mean, first firm up those roles, make sure they know what the hell they're doing. Number two, what they tend to do is they'll want to like build a game, or they'll want to do X, Y, and Z. They'll want to have live events. They want to have a club. Like a club is easy. You can do that shit in Discord. But a game, you need a game developer to really take a look at that, an experienced one, and to spec that shit out. Because there have been multiple projects on Terra that have come to me after they've minted and been like, hey, like, we'd like to make a game. We have this much money. We've already minted. I'm like, there's no way you're going to make an Unreal game with like 500.
Wait, this is so funny. You brought up this whole like advising projects and what they do and the roles. Like I 100% agree. Like I've had, I advise like a few projects as well. You know, it's interesting that like from what stage that they're on that they reach out to, it's like in the ideation stage, I just tell them straight up, like they're talking and talking and talking and they want to do this DAO. They want to do this. They want to do a game. I tell them, you know, like, let's take a step back. I was like, are you an artist and you're putting a team around that artist and really betting on the career of that artist taking off mm-hmm. and the work being good? Or B, is it really like, are you pushing the boundaries? Are you experimenting in this space? Are you like, yeah, are you doing stuff? Like, are you breaking stuff? Like, you know, is that the utility of it? And, and the actual like art doesn't matter. It's really just the pass, right?
Well, it's like, it's a company. Like you have to sell them on the vision. Like, why are you here? I always ask like, always ask yourself why? Why did I get out of bed this morning? Why did I launch this NFT? I did it to change the world. I did it for perpetual charity, for like to fund charities forever. Angel Protocol. We know what we do there, right? But if your team doesn't know why you're doing it, then A, why the hell should anybody else know? And then B, they're not going to be impassioned to the same level or even close to the same level that the lead on the project is. That being said, the lead has to know what the hell they're doing. If they just have art, and they have a bunch of people that they bring on to like do things, and they're like, we should do a game, we should do this, but the artist doesn't give a shit about any of that, then the artist is going to hate their lives or just like not want to engage on these other elements that are being developed by like the other members of the team. It wasn't part of their vision. That being said, it can start with the artist being the visionary. They want to do really sick art, and then they can bring somebody on that does have the vision and then sells the team and the artist on the vision, and now you have a really, really cool thing. And then the hard part starts with all the legal and all the planning and all the execution, right? But it starts with the team and it starts with the vision. Why are you here? And I think projects really need to ask themselves that, because I'm sick of this bullshit, this circle jerk of really, really not low quality stuff, but they really don't know what they're doing. I'm going to build a DAO. I'm like, cool. Like, why?
What's the point? Yeah. Like a lot of this stuff can be done in like traditional, just as a regular business. And I'm just like, what is the element of a DAO that will add a layer that will essentially do something unique to bring value to the people in your DAO? And they were like, we'll have voting. I was like, you can do that. I just set up a Twitter poll.
We're gonna have a poker tournament. I'm like, I can do that in real life. Give us something to be excited about and people will come. People will mint, people will get excited, people will engage. Do some cool shit and we'll all come running. That's my pitch to the NFT people listening.
Or just have really, really, really good art.
Or that.
I agree with that, but you can't just make some art and then post it and expect it to like blow up and get a lot of views on it. You have to like wait and have patience. A saying that our ancestors used to say, time is like a sword. If you don't cut it, it will cut you. And time is key, patience is key, everything is key. If you have like patience and wait, you could like get anything from it. You know what I mean?
That's actually a really good point, and it I'm going to segue into something else in terms of like whitelist and minting out. People get, you know, you're launching a project and it starts minting and people are disappointed, like, oh, like it's not minting out. That's totally fine if it's not minting out. Like if you want to have the three minute mint out or the minute mint out for the people that buy speculatively, they're going to be buying speculatively because they think the number is going to go up or the price is going to go up, and your marketing team did a killer job, but they didn't build a community is the thing. And that takes time. And that takes hands-on, like, selling people on why you're there. It comes back to why. And it's a long process. It's a slow process oftentimes. Sometimes it's very fast. But being patient and not just waiting, but also, like, being true to what you're doing and why you're doing it. And eventually, if it's worth anything or if it's any good, like, it might just attract one person that really likes what you're doing. That's fine. Honestly, as long as it's organic, if people come to you because you shilled them or you paid them or you've incentivized them, but they don't care about your vision, then all of that is fake. You won't have sustained traction over time. They're chasing the money. They're chasing the number go up and value accrual. That's it. But they don't care about why you're there, which sucks. Eventually, you're going to hate it because nobody cares. So it's a really good point that you bring up about being really patient, but also staying engaged and like, knowing that what you're doing is what you love and what you want to do, success will come after that. So very good point from you.
Some amazing, some incredible additions here for sure. And you're absolutely right about that, really engaging into that community. I think that, there's some merit as well to team and the connections that you have as well in the startup of an NFT project, especially due to, there's always some people that have, some extra magnetism or some ability to rally people around a community. And I think, we've been looking into this a bit, and I think, one of the biggest powers, and this goes for any business or any protocol, anything that you're building on the internet as well, is being able to tap into already existing communities rather than having to start completely from scratch. And I mean, you're going to have to in some shape or form, and you're going to build your own community. But in the early stages, leverage is super important, and you want to be able to leverage existing communities of people that are there that are able to kind of help build that project. And I don't necessarily mean paid shilling or tapping into those kind of communities, but I mean, really like engaging with different communities and groups and stuff to really kind of like bring some of those people over and kind of get those people excited or interacting with influential people that already have influence over their communities, rather than trying to do it one person at a time, which is going to be a lot more painful.
I mean, it does start one person at a time. Like, you sell that one person on it, they go tell all their friends. Organic traction, like going person to person, is just incredibly hard. If any of you have tried to onboard somebody into Anchor and then everybody wants to do it, but it takes 8 hours to do one person and you don't have a classroom to do it, like, it's really hard. Like, then you start building
resources. That's so funny. Initially, like, I was doing one-to-one interviews. Like, not interviews, like, literally having, like, Google Meets with potential people who would be, like, users for, like, the platform I'm building. And I did, like, 40 interviews, and it took, like 3-4 days worth of work over the course of a month. And I was just like, damn, I hit 30 people. Like, that's it. I need to, like, come up with, like, a better way of doing this. But, like, initial traction, like, I feel like, yeah, that initial traction, if you just get a core group, like, that'll work. Like, it should work.
Mm-hmm. To have your job as a lead is to sell people on your vision. That's why people join your project. That's why they join yours, mine, Simon's, Super's. Like, that's why they join your project. They like your idea, and then you have to sell them on your vision. You sell them that you're trustworthy, and that you love what you're doing, and that, like, that thing over there that you're chasing over on the hill over yonder is going to change the fucking world. And then everybody goes, fuck yeah, like, let's do that. But it only takes a small group of people to really start spreading something, because it becomes like a virus, right? Think about, like, when you heard about Anchor. Think about when you got the 19.5%, and for some reason you could also borrow and get 300% APY on your borrow. That was stupid. But I ran around telling every person I could meet, the people at the coffee shop, the person cutting my hair. I was shouting to everybody, and some people really liked it, and they wanted to do the one-on-ones, which, there goes my time. That's why I'm not doing an 8-hour session for one person. And most people didn't care. But the thing is, a lot of people, the people that did care and did respond, were incredibly passionate, said, fuck the system, fuck banks, this is bullshit, and they wanted to get on board. Then they tell all of their friends. And again, 80% of the people they told didn't give a shit because, oh, that's fake or blah, 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 right? But the other 20% that did respond, now they're impassioned, and you get somebody that has millions of followers, 10,000 followers, even 1,000 followers, even 500. They tell all those, their friends, what's that percentage hit of their followers that are going to respond to that? And then it goes on down the line, and you hit one big person, all of a sudden the entire world knows, which I still don't know how everybody doesn't know about Luna. That confounds me, so that's an argument against this. It happens. But yeah, you be true. Talk about what you believe. Talk about what you believe, your values, and talk about what you're trying to do. And you'll naturally just have this gathering of people around you. Or it's a dumb idea and nobody will gather around you. And you have to be like, why doesn't anybody care about this? You're either in the wrong place, the wrong demographic, or like you should change what you're doing.
With anchor on board.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. But people don't, you don't have to rely on one idea. People are gonna want like more ideas from you or more NFTs, or you can't just rely on this a certain NFT. You're gonna have to make more and more so people don't get bored and
Yeah, I wanted to add to Trev real quick, just real quick. The way that I got around the anchor onboarding thing in the original days was I used to charge at $800 an hour to onboard people. That solves my issues real quick.
Anchor is so like it's so interesting. Like people, I think a lot of the hesitation comes from like people being on like only ETH and Bitcoin, and this is like the next thing that they go towards, right? Like, and most of the people don't understand. Like you can get technically savvy enough to use MetaMask, but then when you start getting into like using other like wallets and then bridging, and that's when people start to get a little like shaky, and that's when like they start to hit like a bit of a technical limit in terms of like what they're like how much like effort it takes. I think that's really what that, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. Like that all the 20% is like insane. Like I have a friend of mine who literally put like his entire life savings of like what $400,000 into the Anchor protocol, and then he just gets 20%, and he's just chilling because I think it compounds like like automatically, right?
Constantly. And like I was talking to like one of the groups earlier today, and I haven't opened up my auto compound calculator in a very long time because Anchor is super boring compared to the other degenerate shit I do. But you could put in $10,000 at 19.5% APY yearly and never put in another dollar. And you guys can check this. I'd go and check the auto compounding calculators. But you can put in $10,000 and in 25 years, if 19.5% APY holds, in 25 years, you make like almost $900,000 in like 25 years. If you put 10K in and just like don't do shit with it. Like it sounds crazy. Go look at an auto compounding calculator. That's insane, especially if you put in like $100 a month, maybe to put away in savings or $500. Like that it's stupid. But you show those numbers, you show a projection, and like people are like, there's no way that's true. So there's also that it's impossible to be true, even though we know it's true. So there's also that barrier of like unbelievable. You know, there's no way a bank won't fuck me at, you know, one four hundredth of what they should be giving me, right? So there's also that component, I suppose.
For sure. I might reset the room and we may, I'm not sure what your thoughts are, SuperTerra, but maybe we'll have some you know, closing comments or some, you know, extra comments, and we'll close out the room. But I wanted to go down, you know, the artist route as well, like in the setup of a project. Like, you know, some people start a project, they're artists from the get-go, or they may be an artist starting a project. But what about like projects that are looking to build art and bridge art? Where do they go to find that sort of stuff? I know that Lunar's, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of Lunar. I know that they're building almost like an artist portal as well, which I think would be really cool in terms of like having a database of artists that can contract out. But yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I mean, we haven't, I've kind of shoved a lot of our artists into a room in Terra. We have something called the Terra Art Guild. So if you need an artist, and also if you're not a good artist and like you've launched some cool stuff, you think you know, some cool shit, like definitely reach out. But like we have a room with like a bunch of the artists in there. So those do exist. And if you need an artist, find something you like and then go ask them, I guess is really all you can really do. But there's actually something you touched on about the artists. Artists should only be focusing on the art. This is how you get high quality projects. A huge problem is that an artist will often split duties between a Discord whitelist, all the other bullshit, people going, when whitelist, when token, you know. Fuck off a little bit.
Yeah, you're talking about your artist guild. It's like I love that actually, because I'm trying to do something very similar, like do like content creation as a service.
Yeah, I'll pull you in. Just anybody else, if you want in on that and you're an artist, send me your art and we'll pull you in.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm looking for the artist. I'm not good at all, dude. I make stick figures.
Yeah, most of them are yeah, I draw stick figures too. People don't believe me. That's all I can do. But if you need artists, like we can start pulling people in as needed. But usually they're building other things. So just know that too.
Making art is like making a game because you have to like grab a couple of people. Like if you like bring artists, like famous artists, and put them in one room, they're gonna like think about something to make, right? So
I mean not necessarily, like they're just there to like if you need artists or to share ideas. It's always good in a group of like people that like do what you do, because then you can like cross-pollinate, share ideas,
or make maybe something out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just good to be around people that like what you like, and it's just you'll have a natural flow of creativity and productivity, and you'll like your life a lot better if you're hanging out with people that like aren't dicks and like everything that you don't like, right? So.
Oh my God, I needed this in my life, bro. You guys are all awesome.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? Because you're really smart for what sounds like a fairly young person.
I know. I was born in like 2007.
Man, oh my God, you're making me feel old as shit.
I was done shit at your age.
Bro, like,
whatever you're doing, keep on doing whatever that is, man.
Yeah, bro, thanks. I really needed this in my life for like a long, long time. Today was a bad day. Like bad things happened.
Yeah, we needed you too. So definitely come back.
Absolutely. Like,
no, I'm staying here. I'm just saying this. I'm just saying that because I wanted to say this, like in 10 minutes bro. What? I'm sorry, guys. My English is not.
Take your time. Take your time. You're doing fantastic. Take your time.
As soon as I joined this meeting, like 10 minutes passed. I really enjoyed everything about it. About how are you, how you guys are open-minded and love to speak about NFTs. I don't believe in NFTs, and I don't like NFTs. But now, I think I might be like an NFT supporter.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got them.
Turn around. There's still time for you. You can be saved.
You can be saved, man. Don't get into this.
You can still run away.
It's basically gambling.
No, not like buy NFTs. I don't have that type of currency, and I don't have like how do you say it?
Are you on Terra?
An idea, huh?
Are you on Terra?
What's Terra?
That's a whole other conversation. Well, what I was going to suggest though was, I think what you're talking about is the general concept of an NFT and the intrinsic value, the nature of them. And I think it's a really good debate. And I think it's really good that you're bringing this up, because ultimately challenging the very principle of what an NFT is and how it works, fundamentally, if we can't defend that, it doesn't work.
Correct.
I know.
I just want your address so I can send you an NFT.
100%. I was thinking the same thing.
No, it's okay.
Make a ETH address and DM us, dude.
No, don't do it. ETH is whack. You want to go with Terra.
Terra is the best one.
I'm just kidding, Akhil. If you.
Yeah, no, I don't care. I'm chain agnostic as long as it's not Bitcoin.
Terra's backed by Bitcoin now, so, you know, by association.
I want to reset a bit. I've just brought up Archangel Raphael. I think that's how say it. He just put up his hand, so thought I'd bring him up and to add some comments to this conversation and stuff. I think maybe we'll give it another maybe 5-ish minutes, see where this conversation goes, and we might close up. I know it's quite late on Super Terra's side, so I'm quite conscious of that as well. Thanks, Coral, for jumping up. We're gonna move on, and we're gonna move on to Archangel
Yo, I'm just jumping on real quick because I love the conversation and I love seeing people talking about NFTs in any shape, way, or form, including and not limited to Terra NFTs. That was a very enlightening conversation. But hey, I wanted to, you know, we're wrapping it up here, but I wanted to put out the offer to Akil and what was his name? Corazon. Here, I'll follow you, buddy. Send me a Terra address if you guys are interested in some Terra NFTs. I have some choice ones that I am always keen to get out there and have people start using. And I say using because there's some specifically like the one that I would like to send you from a project called PS Labs, where you can actually utilize the NFT, get some utility out of it, and go make a render that will get airdropped to your Terra wallet after submitting, usually a day or two after submitting. So yeah, just wanted to, you know, there's always a place to start, and I think that's a good one. So yeah,
it's a great shout. I'm a huge fan. PS Labs are doing great things, and I did a Spaces with them a couple of weeks ago, so great shout out there.
But yeah, the offer is on the table if you guys want it. You know, I'm always keen to spread them around. The offer applies to those who don't hold an X already, and we're up here speaking. Thank you very much.
I have quite a few X's. I see our friends dropped out, which is a real shame. So hopefully we can track him down. And
he thought that he got removed, but
then definitely
you removed him, did you?
No, he's disappeared.
I grabbed him on a. I followed him, so
Cool. I have a DM with him as well.
Good. Excellent. We will follow up with that. I'm following him as well.
I want all the kids to be just like that. That's
It's amazing. So great. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, major shout out to you guys for like not belittle, you know, not that I suspect anybody here would ever do that, but usually one of the issues you run into in online communities is that especially younger people entering into the space might get belittled or looked down on in one way or the other because of their age. So I'm super happy to see that.
Yeah.
My expectations of the Terra community are met.
The only thing I would have told him differently or not differently, but something else before he left would have been like, you know, if he wants to really get involved, but not really buy anything, like just look into DAOs and maybe check out some DAOs and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I'm just messaging him now as well. No, it's great. We've got to encourage the future, got to encourage the community. And I'm 100% a believer in all of what we're trying to do. So just keep the future coming. Probably profound for late at night for me.
Philosophers right here. I think maybe we'll have closing thoughts and then we'll close up. I think we've had a pretty good space, and I think the last couple of weeks we've had some for a while, some good spaces since, you know, even the start of the year, but I think the last couple of weeks on NFTs we've really dug into some good stuff and built a really good community around this and some really good education almost for a lot of there is sometimes little guidance out there on this stuff. So I think it's really cool that we can come on and talk about this these topics. So yeah, just going to open up for like some closing thoughts, guys, and then maybe we'll wrap up for this week.
I just wanted to say this was magic. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, everybody. I really enjoyed it. It was very wholesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Same here. Thanks for having me up. I like the name of the room. I think that's what like sort of caught my attention. So whoever picked the name of the room, man, good job.
All I gotta add is we need more quality over quantity on any blockchain. So if you are considering like starting a project or any kind of, or getting involved in any way, sense, or form on that front, like really take some time and study the market, study what people are looking for. I mean, that's going to benefit your project, obviously, in the long run. But also, you know, you're not going to waste everybody's time half-assing something, which is a far too common problem we have, half-ass shit.
I think Trev got rugged. Yeah, I agree. And you know, this is a kind of an interesting thing about crypto in general, right? Crypto and in NFTs and stuff in general, because we're such in a like an early stage in maturity for the space, we actually like if you were to look at like TradFi, you were to look at Web2,
there's more structure, and there's more I don't know how to word this. I was actually talking about this the other day with a friend who's got quite a successful company outside of crypto. And it's quite interesting when you look at like team structures and structures and skills and different things, how it's very different. Like in an NFT project, you may have one person that's doing the marketing and they're doing everything in the project. And I think Trev was mentioning this before. I think it was Trev. And this one person is doing everything within the company. But when you go into the outside world, they've got a person who's like very experienced in marketing and a person that's very experienced in this and this and this and this. And I think that will only evolve and mature over time, where these teams become more efficient. And even within protocols as well, if you look at, protocols, there's a lot of quite successful protocols out there that, maybe it's five guys running a, $10 billion, five devs running a $10 billion market cap or $2 billion market cap project. And that works because obviously the decentralization, but I think in the future there'll be a bigger emphasis on marketing teams and really dedicated, structures and teams for those projects to cut through the noise as we grow, because we're still in really early stages. And I think it's the same with NFT projects. And I think, Akil could probably say the same on ETH. It's quite different to Terra currently. Like where we are at Terra at the moment, it's a lot easier to cut through the noise. It's a lot earlier stages. Whereas on ETH, you probably like need some big branding and marketing guys to really cut through that and get.
Oh my
get
God. Yeah. I'm looking to hire a CMO. I need a CTO. it's a mess. I just hired my first employee like last week. He came on for option strategy, and yeah, like we have like a bunch of advisors that are coming in the pipeline. But yeah, it's very difficult to put together a team, because it's like, yeah, I can get a good CTO, but I need somebody who also believes in the project more than like just, like a guns for hire type situation.
I think they all need to believe in your project. That's the only way.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Works. Yeah.
Yeah. But if the CTO does it right, like I'm screwed, right? Like everybody else cannot believe it. That's fine. I'll figure it out. Right. I can handle their shit. But, I'm not like I don't do back end database architecture work and understanding the entire tech stack and shit like that. Like I did it so far. Right. Like I had basically in the very beginning, I went to like the VCs with my pitch deck and they said, come back with a CTO. And I felt like Thanos with my glove on, and I just put the glove on. I was like, fine, I'll do it myself, because like I talked to a few people. And I was like, this search is going to take forever because I got to convince a dude to like, or whoever, I got to convince a guy, girl, whoever to like, come on, understand the project, believe in the vision, start working on it for equity. I don't have any cash. And I was just like, you know what? I learned like Figma UI prototyping on my own over like 3 weeks. I hired a dude. I wrote like a 60 page requirements doc, and I hired like a dev team to do it. And now I can only take it so far, because the closed beta complexity would be like maybe like 1/7 of like the actual full product that I need. And then I can't go past that. Like that's too much. I got to go back to school for that shit.
If you come to Terra, we can find you some talent.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like the platform that I'm building is chain agnostic. If you really think about it, like we're starting on ETH, but essentially, like even the same concepts of like art, lore, world building, like basically building out the provenance of digital assets, regardless of which chain they're on. That's the plan. Like, hopefully, I want to move to Sol, Terra, AVAX, and all these other chains.
Yeah, with like Wormhole and Gravity Bridge coming online, like that's all in IBC. That's all well within the realm of possibility. If you need help, let me know what you're looking for, and maybe we have some people.
Yeah, awesome.
So I know I'll bring it to a close fairly soon. I've been chatting to Corazon. It seems like he keeps getting rugged, and I've had Gilles come and go several times to request. So I don't know if Twitter is just rugging everyone, whether Elon Musk's takeover offer is screwing everyone over. But hopefully I'm going to look to get Corazon on a future space, because he's a cool kid and we want to see him back. So send some love to that, to that wonderful part of our future of everyone. Hopefully you can hear this on a replay. So I don't know what's going on, but he's not able to rejoin the space. But I can see Gilles has kindly, I think several times, requested to speak. I've accepted, then he's dropped away. So clearly Twitter, the board of Twitter are stopping our free speech. So let's let Gilles on for your thoughts. The future is Elon's, the future is ours. And the space is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Super Terra. Just some quick words. Great spaces again. And I agree on what was mentioned earlier. It takes some time to really put a proper business under most of these NFT projects. You see some of the blue chips. Yeah, they have big teams. Some have a bit smaller teams. But gradually, they're finding their way. So, yeah, I agree. It's a work in process. But I'm bullish on Terra, and I think we are going to make it.
I agree. I think the will is there, the passion is there, and the creativity is there. And I think it's been a really interesting and tangential space tonight that I've really enjoyed. We've gone off to a number of different avenues. We've seen real passion. And actually, when I think about it, when we put the title up for today's space, it's the first time we haven't even indirectly referenced Terra, and it's brought a really interesting perspective. So thank you, all contributors, and really, really good to just explore those tangents. Because I guess ultimately what we're trying to understand as a community is, how do these ideas get off the ground? And I think, yeah, we went off on a number of different interesting avenues tonight, but ultimately it's about creativity and traction of ideas. And actually the development of ideas interspersed with conversations with others. I am massively paraphrasing the conversations we've had tonight, but what I do like as well is, and I'm seeing this in a great way, that willingness to reach out and find where the gaps are. I know we went on, yeah, one of the tangents we went on was very powerful in terms of finding those tangents, finding those opportunities. So my, if you like, ramble, I do apologize, I'm good at that, not intentionally. I'm going to sort of jump out and let Simon jump in with his thoughts, and then get maybe some closing remarks from the rest of the panel before we drop off.
Yeah, I think we're good to close up, and thanks for staying up late as always, Super Terra. I think it's exciting, and we're at a good pivotal place for Terra. And obviously, Super Terra and I have been building something in the background, and I think the real big for the future, it's really how do we use NFTs and how do we use this renewed excitement and engagement in the normie world to help onboard into DeFi and into crypto, and how can we use gamification and NFTs and world building to kind of engage people into protocols that may seem 2D to them, but we're doing it through NFTs. And I think that's really the future and I know even CeFi's in the space has talked about this a bit, but it's kind of where I see it. Built Loop Learn, which with the goal of onboarding people into Terra, and I think it just makes sense that the other progression, the other piece of this is NFT and gamification and emotional stuff to bring people into stuff that they may seem or think is boring. And I think that's really key. Talk to a lot of people that feel maybe out of their depth in DeFi, but when you bring in NFTs, it kind of makes a bit more sense.
Hey, real quick here, to your point, Super Terra, about the title, I think that's awesome. We should keep it as general as possible. It attracts, a more broad crowd. And I had that thought earlier. There was, I forget what his username is, but there was a lunatic that was in an Ethereum space yesterday, I think it was. And it was just him, the only moon handle in the crowd. But he was shilling it to the people there, and they were eating it up. And I was like, oh, shit, we need to do this more often.
Yeah, are you talking about like Safe Moon or something?
No, what was it? Fuck it, it was some other big project that has a big following.
There's this whole group of like people in crypto that we don't interact with and like or not interact with that much, and they're all this like Saitama, Inu, / Safe Moon, and it just feels like that is like the what is it called? The 4X people of 2014 are like the 2022 people of like not Shiba Inu, the freaking Saitama Inu. And it's just, I don't know.
Have you like, I used to, like, when I had time to do spaces all the time, like, because I, this is what I live for, like, I used to jump into the spaces like randomly and just like drop like a shit ton of Terra knowledge on them, and they're like, I can't believe that any of that is possible. I'm like, yeah, because you guys are just circle jerk yield farming each other, and you've never even heard of Wormhole, and it's on V2 and it's been working. And, right, so it's interesting. They're kind of in their own bubble, and it's actually stymied innovation on their end. They've stopped thinking about what's next, and instead of like, they're focused on like, how do I maximize yield, which is great, but they've forgotten that there's other shit that they can do. So it's interesting, to say the least.
I think the key for me is perspective beyond. And absolutely, yeah, I think we should broaden these ideas out, because ultimately, if we're going to make this succeed, there's a broader idea, a broader concept for shifting the paradigm. We need to bridge, and I don't just mean in terms of currency exchanges in crypto. I mean, bridge the ideological gaps and have those conversations that ultimately get us thinking beyond fiat and joining ourselves together.
Yeah, we also need to reframe the whole thing, whereas people are like attacking each other, like, our chain is better than your chain, you know, fuck your currency, and mine's better, my chain's more effective, blah, blah, blah. We need to work together. Like, Terra is really powerful because we all work mm-hmm. together and love working together. They don't all work like that, which is why I'm here, and a lot of us are here. But if we could possibly, if there was a way to export the way we do things, I think that would be maybe the most impactful.
Oh no, you got rugged again.
I tell you, tonight's been really ropey. I've had several speakers drop out and people request and disappear and so on. Elon, buy it, sort it out, mate. But no, in all seriousness, it has been a little bit ropey tonight. So, as I say, Corazon, much love. I don't know what happened there, but we're not able to get him back on. But, you know, examples of that. But I think the general gist there is we need to work together as a broader community. And I think a lot of people within Terra do, absolutely. And our whole idea is inclusive conversations, because most of us didn't start out in Terra. We started out in other chains, and we kind of come to Terra because we've gone, you know, it's kind of a lot of the good things that we were looking for, but we are looking for how that can work more broadly. And I think that absolutely the only way it's going to succeed is that thinking beyond tribal lines. There we go. It's been a very profound space. We've gone off on a lot of tangents. And had some really brilliant speakers today. I really enjoyed it. But it has been quite tangential. But isn't that what part of the exploration of what we can achieve is all about? So there you go. That's profound in itself. Simon, last word.
Appreciate you guys a lot. Thanks to you guys for keep coming back on these spaces, and we love to hear from everybody's wisdom and input. And we look forward to keep building these spaces and this community out, and engaging with all of you guys. So thank you guys. We're gonna wrap it up. Let SuperTerra get some sleep. And on my end, it's about starting the day. And we look forward to seeing you on future spaces. And any suggestions on topics are always welcome. We usually get to Sunday, a Saturday or Sunday, and we're like, okay, let's what topic are we going to talk about? And we're currently on an NFT kind of route at the moment. So we appreciate you guys and love the idea of keeping it chain agnostic. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Much love. Thanks. Speak soon.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a SuperTerra space, startup phases of NFT projects, from ideas to inception. Recorded on Monday, April 18th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by Intern Capital. Everyone knows interns make the world go round, so when it comes to picking out your interns, make sure you choose the best. The best, you say? That's right, the best. And everyone knows all the best interns come from Intern Capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter and keep an eye out April 14th for the Intern FT Mint launching on One Planet. Links are in the show notes. And for more information, check out intern.capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter for daily ship posts and stock tips. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Mutation. It is the key to our evolution. It has enabled us to evolve from a single-celled organism into the dominant species on the planet. This process is slow, normally taking thousands and thousands of years. But every few hundred millennia, evolution leaps forward.
Diving through the forest, looking for the door to the portal. Said it'll take me down a corridor. I'm ignoring the warning, storing importance. The core looks sourced from ancient coordinates. Smells like musty mutants, trust me. I've been hunting bugs since the leaves started rustling. I must be getting close, yo, the scene is disgusting. Parasitic
mutation
leeching off the country. Grab a couple samples and defy their custody. Feeding gamma rays to the beast at peak velocity. Mutating awesomely, pre-say don't wanna me. Taking all the scraps and feed them to the lottery. Always evolving to defy the possibly. These are the things that will scream irresponsibly. Feeling uneasy, these genes get them off of me. I don't mean to trip it, am I mutating properly? We are mutants. We are mutants. We are mutants. We are mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. Breathing getting heavy, I can feel it in my arms, but I can't stop now.
Mutation.
It's an art form, don't be alarmed. If you see me looking odd when I'm out on the farm, spinning crop circles in your yard, reaching the stars, need a way to get across. Got this little
mutation,
lets me hack key cards. Scene looking like it came out the first three saws. Flexing like Rex when I mutate the precog. Leaders trying to research this genetic seesaw. Give me all the science and we'll leave you with the pre-slaw. Writers believe they bleed these endorsements, turning scientists into terrorist supporters. Gotta seize the spoils and release the spores. It's time to forage through DNA lore. So sink it or swim, silly Alice, take the pill and see. We're all mad here, taking over your facility. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this.
Terra Spaces.